about.
You got to put it in perspective.
Três amores. E nada são iguais. Não tenho certeza do que eu gosto mais. Eu tenho dois amores. E nada são iguais.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
V.I.G. Ah!
No! No!
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever had a dream that you had, you want him to do so much you could do anything?
I wish I was 50 years younger and I'd kick your ass.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Naked.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Oh, yeah.
Roll another one.
Airtight.
Just like the other one.
How dare you?
This one seems to be about to quit.
Come on.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Not interested.
Roll.
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 Another one.
I eat crap.
Just like the other one.
That's what he said.
This one seems to be about.
How do you keep your head about
you? I don't have another cent.
You'd be surprised just how freaky I can get.
It can't be done.
Just pass it around.
Oh, cooch.
Wow, that sounds fantastic.
Just pass it on.
And now,
oh my,
our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It is a brand new show. It's Friday morning on a Kevin and Bean show. What's happening?
You're going to Vegas again today?
Yep.
How about that? You're not going to be paying attention to this show.
Nope.
You have already checked out.
Well, I think maybe two weekends in a row is a bad decision for a guy like me.
It does seem like you're overdoing it a little bit.
Do
you have your wallet and all that stuff that you need?
Yeah. Kidding?
No, he's like, not, okay. Actually.
He's like a steel trap.
Oh, okay. All right. I wanted to know if you had to send somebody home to get your stuff.
No, I double-checked last night. Cause
pick up your luggage.
Last
and
time
stuff.
Sucked. Yeah.
Hey, we found out something fascinating yesterday. I mean, I was really interested in this. And we talked about it a little bit on the show yesterday, even more off air. This is me, Bean. And as much as I love death, I'm terrified of death. I'm really, really afraid that I'm going to be one of those guys like Steve Jobs who dies young. It really upsets me.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that you could die at 56 is a horrifying thought.
I think it's upsetting to most people.
I don't know.
Wait, hold on. It's upsetting to most people that they'll die at 56 or that Bean will die?
Oh, no, that they'll die at
56. Okay, good. I just want to clarify. Because I'm down with you dying at 56, but go ahead.
What was really shocking to me yesterday was finding out that Kevin hopes he dies at 56.
No,
and I've never
felt
anybody
said.
Like that before.
That's not what you said. You said if you could have the influence.
No, completely unrelated to that conversation. Kevin's terrified of getting old. Kevin does not want to be an old person. That's his biggest fear, is the opposite of mine, which is not being an old person. Because, in your opinion, old people suck and old people have a bad life.
Yeah, they do. Live, maybe part of the problem is where I live, because I live in an area that's just full of old people.
Yeah.
And their day consists of, eating something soft, and then they go to the CVS pharmacy, and they just kind of walk the aisles for the rest of the day, waiting for you know, them to come up with some kind of a medication that's not going to help. They're just waiting to die.
But don't you think it's possible that their lives are way better than what you can see just in the moments that you're with them in on, you know, day to day? I mean, they could have a lot of things going on. They could have very, very rich, full lives, and they're very happy.
No.
You don't think that's possible?
Don't be stupid.
Well, I have some evidence to support your theory that no one ever should get old, Kevin. Here's a story out of San Bernardino County. Loma Linda is where it happened. An 80-year-old woman was found trapped between her bed and her bedroom wall, where she had been stuck for 4 days.
See, that's never going to happen to you if you're 50, if you're 40, if you're 30, if you're 20. It only happens when you're 70 or 80.
This is why I said this is evidence in your favor. You should.
I don't want to get stuck between a bed and a wall for 4 days. Come on.
Oh, wait, you don't?
I mean, come on, though. Really?
It's a terrible thing. I mean, look, we all know old people. Can you imagine how horrible that would be and how bad you would feel if that happened to somebody you know? Now, thank God this is one of those situations where somebody, you know, a neighbor was keeping an eye out and realized she hadn't been seen in a few days. And I guess they have a program in San Bernardino County called the Well Check Program, where you can call this phone number and say, hey, would you look in on my elderly neighbor? I don't know why the neighbor just can't get over there and knock on the door, but they send out somebody.
Send somebody from far away to check my next door neighbor.
Exactly. Yes.
I'm busy.
So a deputy shows up, knocks on the door and then on a window, and eventually hears a faint call for help. So he gets into the house through the window and finds the woman trapped on the floor between the bed and the wall.
Was she dead yet?
No. What? 4 days. 4 days in, she was not dead. She was severely dehydrated and she had a head injury, but she is otherwise fine and will be fine. She will recover well.
Gosh.
You know, you see these commercials on the TV for I think it's called Life Alert. You wear a bracelet where you can push a button and get some help if you get in a situation like that. Maybe that would have been a good investment for this lady. But this is exactly your worst fear, Kevin, is you're going to be 80 and stuck for 4 days. Now, imagine all that goes along with being stuck in that position for 4 days.
Oh, I know. Not only are you not eating, but you are doing other things.
Yeah.
Yes.
That just seems like...
And that's interminable. Four days.
And by day two, you go, I clearly don't have any friends because no one's come over in 2 days.
Really
and then
sad.
3 days. I mean, come on.
Now you're just waiting to die.
Nobody wants that.
And praying to die. Because you wake up on that third day and you go, am I really, really going to just starve to death or dehydrate to death? Is this how it's going to end? Right? And I'll never, I can't do anything about it. I can't tell anybody about it. I'm just going to lay here until I die. That must be a horrible way to go.
I think from 70 on, I'm just going to keep a cyanide pill in my mouth. And then you fall between a bed and a wall, you just chew it.
Yeah.
You say goodbye.
You're done.
I'm out.
So you'll keep the pill in your mouth. You'll just roll it around like under your tongue and stuff. Just play with it until you need it.
Yeah,
and then
maybe
it's
20,
right there.
Maybe 20 years. But then if something happens, I got it.
I like it.
And then it's hello, sweet death.
Hey, who's with me? That's a better plan than if this woman had died like that. I'll tell you that.
No kidding. That's not the way you want to go. There's a lot of ways I would put above that.
Yeah, sure, absolutely.
I'd rather go. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin DeBicho, shall we?
Oh, are we playing a game where everyone says something stupid?
Nope, just me. Today we're going to take a look at Beer Mug, the king of advertising.
Yes.
Little did we know, our little Beer Mug has created him an empire for himself. Mm-hmm.
He has. He's building quite the empire. You're right. I mean, like the king of bedspread.
Right.
Bedspreads. What do you sell?
Bedspreads.
And the king of beepers.
Big screens.
The king of big screens.
Sure.
Yeah. I think we're putting a new face up on Mount Rushmore because Beer Mug is doing some quality work these days behind the mic.
Yeah. Also on today's show, we have Cousin Sal, if you're the betting type. Not that we bet, because it's illegal.
Mm-hmm.
So don't be stupid. But Cousin Sal will give us his three picks for the NFL.
He's doing pretty good.
And the reason we got him on, he's Jimmy Kimmel's cousin. So we know him. And we also know that he knows a tremendous amount about teams and who's starting and injuries and all that kind of stuff that plays into being able to pick successfully.
Yeah.
And none of us have been able to pick successfully in the past. So we get Cousin Sal on and he gives us his picks. We also have Evangeline Lilly.
Wow.
On the phone, on the show today.
Mm-hmm.
Evangeline Lilly.
Yes.
She's okay.
She's in the movie Real Steel. And she's
Whatever she's in, I'm going.
Me too. Movie Beat on the program today.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds pretty outrageous.
There it is. King of advertising. We have Dana White coming up in about a half hour.
So this is your first time dabbling in food.
Talking about the fights this weekend. Dick Cheney hasn't cried in 10 years. I don't know if you heard that story.
Tasty. I'm in. Where do I get tickets?
And we have Evangeline Lilly on the program.
Will you punch him in the face?
And we have LaQuisha on Jersey Shore.
Will you put him in a chokehold?
What's wrong with you? Why are you asking those questions? So we got all that coming up today. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
The president of the UFC, Mr. Dana White, always one of our very favorite guests here on the Kevin DeBean Show, joins us right after the top of the hour. There's a lot to talk about in his world. That's coming up. First, though, time for a look at the Showbiz Beat with our friend Ralph Garman. Hey, Ralph.
Hey. That was fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Last minute. Can I get some cameras? What's this all about? This is not the right configuration, I believe, for my
really?
Sound effects.
Muggs is new. I mean, he doesn't know how to set stuff up.
He may
up.
Be the king of advertising. You know what he may not be?
He doesn't need
king
you.
Of anything else.
He doesn't need that anymore.
Yeah, it's true. He's got that career going for him. There we
That's
go.
That's not about brown that? Rice.
That's good. Well, as you might expect, costume shops reporting this year that the most popular men's Halloween costume is what? What do you think? What would your guess be?
Popular men's.
Men?
Transformer?
No, it'd be cool, though.
Are you marked in this prime?
Right. I don't know.
No, it's Charlie Sheen. Mm-hmm. Winning.
Oh,
winning.
Sure. Really, though?
Winning.
I mean, really? You're going to bring that back now?
How do you dress as Charlie Sheen for a Halloween party?
You knock some teeth out.
Yeah.
Don't sleep for 3 days.
Get a snoot full of blow and some tequila and some whores?
I guess,
yeah.
Well, it sounds like a lot of accessories.
Sure does. Yeah.
Sounds like a pretty fun Halloween night, though.
Most popular costume for women this year is slutty nurse, slutty maid, slutty schoolgirl, slut.
Slutty astronaut, slutty secretary of state.
That's why Halloween rules.
Slut. While we're talking about sluts, if you want a good tattoo, do yourself a favor and avoid Kesha.
Uh-oh, she's got some bad ones?
No, she likes to give bad ones.
What?
She considers herself quite the little tattoo artist.
Oh, great.
And she does it, I think, prison style, with like a Bic pen and a knitting needle and a, I don't know, a ShamWow and an Eggie. I don't know exactly what she uses, but...
And fans will come up to her and allow her to tattoo them, right, Ralph?
Yes. Andrew WK, her musician pal, let her tattoo him. Turns out his body began to reject the ink. The piece got horribly infected.
Oh, no.
Had to see a doctor and wound up with a scar in the shape of the tattoo.
Wow. Maybe that's her genius.
Kesha
should give you a scar forever.
Tweeted a half-hearted apology saying it wasn't her fault because she used his safety pin. So she's claiming his safety pin wasn't hygienic. Stop it. Here's the idea. Don't do a tattoo with any safety pin. And don't let CAD dollar sign ha
yeah.
do your tattoo for
do
you.
Do any tattoo for any reason in any way.
Yeah. We may not get to see that Tupac sex tape.
Come on.
Sad day for perverts everywhere. The family of Tupac says that they'll sue anyone that tries to capitalize on the sex tape that's allegedly lurking around. They claim there's only one entity that can sell the late rapper's image, and that the estate simply won't let it happen. They all seem to think that the mastermind behind this whole operation is the girl who's in the video with Tupac.
Ah.
And so they're currently trying to figure out exactly who that is and hunt her down and slap her with a cease and desist.
We were trying
Not
to
all she got slapped with, no thing.
We're trying to figure out who might be the one behind it, you know, or why, and why haven't they come forward until now?
Maybe she just turned 18. Oh, don't be that guy.
The video was 20
guy.
Years ago.
Don't be that guy.
All right, sorry.
Maybe she needs a little career bump, whatever she's got going on. This is sad news. The estranged daughter of Billy Bob Thornton was sentenced in Florida yesterday to 20 years in prison.
Oh, wow.
For killing a child who was in her care.
Dude.
Ooh.
Her name's Amanda Brumfield. She's 32 years old, and she was convicted in Orlando of aggravated manslaughter of a one-year-old named Olivia Madison Garcia, who was the daughter of one of her close friends. Apparently, Amanda was babysitting, and the kid ended up with a skull fracture and brain bleeding. Now, Amanda claims the kid fell, hit her head, but prosecutors proved that the blow came from something much more severe than that. So she got sentenced to 20 years yesterday.
Wow.
I'm not sure what that means.
It means, Billy, you won't be seeing your daughter for 20 years. Or actually, you haven't seen her for some time. Billy Bob's PR people say he had no contact with his daughter for some time. Oh, maybe that's why she's got so many problems. And now Hank Williams Jr. is saying it was all his idea to leave ESPN's Monday Night Football.
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. He says on his website, after reading hundreds of emails, I made my decision by pulling my opening from the October 3rd Monday Night Football.
Sure.
You, ESPN, stepped on the toes of the First Amendment of speech, he writes.
Wow.
I don't believe it's the First Amendment of speech. I think free speech is the First Amendment to the Constitution. I don't think there's like a Second Amendment of speech or a Third Amendment of speech. I think it's just the one amendment having to do with speech. Yes.
And people always confuse consequences to your speech with somehow your right to free speech being violated.
They let you say whatever you want.
Yeah.
Hank?
And it's the government that has to infringe upon your free speech in order for it to be unconstitutional. The government had nothing to do with this story in any way.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Nor did ESPN step on his free speech's amendment toes.
Yeah.
He can say whatever he wants, but they also have the right to not want to do business with
you. I want this guy to keep talking because he's an idiot.
I do, too.
He says, me, my song, and all my rowdy friends are out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All
right. Whee!
Who's with me?
So, there you go. It was all Hank's decision to leave.
He hasn't had a hit song in like 20-something years, so I don't think this is really going to hurt him the way it might have had he been a contemporary recording artist.
Yeah.
But
I'm sure
he was
still
making
tours on his greatest hits.
Yeah, but I bet, as you pointed out earlier in the week, I bet he was making some pretty good dollars off of that ESPN deal every season, right?
Yeah.
Now, he wanted to stop it, though, guys.
Because he wrote the song, too, so I'm sure the songwriting residuals alone would be significant for him. But he's out of all my rowdy friends, he said, are out of here. Rowdy friends like Hitler and that Nayu and the Three Stooges, they're all gone. Let me give away some passes before I get to the birthdays. How about passes to the red carpet world premiere of The Thing? Happens on Monday, October the 10th. Movies in theaters everywhere Friday, but you'll see it along with all the stars and the cast and the crew of The Thing on the red carpet. If you're a lucky caller, let's say first two callers, 1-800-520-1067. First two callers that get through at that number, we'll get a pair of passes to the red carpet world premiere of The Thing. Cannot wait to see that film. Today's celebrity birthdays, Joy Behar of The View and her own wildly entertaining show.
I've not seen one.
Have you ever seen her own show?
No.
It's unbelievable.
Why would you? Just to see how bad it is?
Yeah. She's horrible.
I bet Beam watches it.
She can barely read a cue card. Her interviews are horrific. I do not understand it. I guess it's on HLN. Is that?
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
I knew it.
It's brutal.
How is it, Beam?
I have not seen it.
What?
Our little boy's making some strides.
Don't watch it.
Fantastic.
Don't need so many hours in the day.
She is 69 years old today. Vladimir Putin. He is 59 years old today.
He's going to at least wrestle a bear today, right? Like, every week he comes up with some new way to prove how manly he is and take his shirt off.
No, I heard he's having a very high-end birthday party at the Ritz Hotel.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's not like our boy.
It's Putin on the Ritz.
Oh! Come on! And don't dare put that in the file, Kevin. That was strong.
I am down with that.
Simon Cowell is 54 years old today. Toni Braxton, the singer, and she is 43. Tom York, singer of Radiohead, is 43 as well. Actor Sean Ashmore celebrates his 32nd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, last time we had Dana on, he was getting one step closer to world. I love the Black Keys so much. And if you ever get the chance to interview them, don't. Hey, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Friday. Cousin Sal with his football picks coming up on today's program. Also, the beautiful Evangeline Lilly is happening. And how is Beer Mug now the king of advertising? That's all on the way coming up today.
First, former Vice President Dick Cheney is back in the news. Apparently, he's written a memoir. And he called into a sports talk radio station in Memphis, Tennessee.
Hmm.
Why? I don't know.
That's odd.
And they asked him a lot of questions, including, when was the last time you cried? And he could not come up with anything. He thought about it for a while, and he said, it's probably been 10 years since he's cried.
That's a bizarre question to ask a former vice president of the United States. But
it
I
is.
Wonder, and I don't know anything about the hosts who are on this show, but I wonder if they thought of it because he seems like he's you know, so in control all the time and so emotionless.
He's
I wonder
Darth
if they
Vader.
Were thinking,
he
yeah,
Darth
he's a
Vader.
He's a robot, so I wonder if he ever cried. And he said it had been at least 10 years, and he really couldn't remember when it was the last time that he cried. And I thought, that's interesting.
In a recent event at the American Enterprise Institute, moderator Stephen Hayes told Cheney after September 11th, he broke down crying when asked if Cheney ever had a moment like that. He said, not really.
I thought everybody cried after 9/11.
September 11th.
Wow. God. Well, I think it's high time we caught up with our friend, the former Vice President of the United States, Dick Cheney.
Dick, 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 Dick Cheney, Dick, 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 Dick Cheney, Dick, 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 Dick Cheney, Dick.
Mr. Vice President, hello, welcome back, sir.
So?
Well, good morning to you as well. How are you? How's the book tour been doing? How's the book selling?
Good. People seem to think the book is good. They're enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
It's hilarious. It's a hilarious read.
It's fun. It's a funny book?
Oh, yeah.
Is it an autobiography?
Sure.
But it's funny?
Yeah.
Did you have a ghostwriter?
No.
That's one of the things that you said at the beginning of the tour, is that you hoped that people would realize what a great sense of humor you had once they read the book. But I haven't seen any excerpts about, hilarity and hijinks or anything like that from the book.
How many guys does it take to go hunting with me?
how many?
That's not the answer to a joke.
That actually is
hilarious.
How
do you write it down, though?
Just that.
All right.
Write it down.
Okay.
All right. So you're on a sports talk radio show in Memphis. And first of all, how did that happen? I mean, that seems like an odd booking.
They called.
Right.
Okay. All right.
And I want to sell books.
Okay. Yeah. And you were surprised when one of the hosts asks, when was the last time you cried?
Mm-hmm.
Your response was, well, I'd have to sit down and think about it. I don't. I'm sure there have been those times. It's been at least 10 years.
Yeah. Well, once they took my heart out, I realized I really hadn't cried after that.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
So they literally removed it. What's there now?
Just a big black hole.
Oh, I see.
But I've been thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized... that question caught me off guard,
mm-hmm.
and I have cried a few times since.
Okay, so you've come up with a better answer then.
Yeah, you are human.
All right.
I cried when that guy I shot in the face lived.
Oh, well, now, he was a friend of yours.
He was your best friend. And he took the fall for that. He said, basically, my face was in the wrong place.
He didn't take the fall.
Well, I'm saying he took the blame for it.
Yeah, I know. I wanted him to take the fall.
Oh, I see. All right.
It was a shallow grave.
Wow.
Oh,
but,
Dick.
He survived. I shed a few tears over that.
Okay.
When that black guy got elected president.
Oh.
You cried when President Obama won the election?
Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
Well, I can't help it. I'm just an emotional guy.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
I mean, everybody cries sometimes.
I hear that's true.
Everybody hurts.
And everybody poops, too. Let's remember that.
That's true. Yeah. I haven't pooped in over 10 years.
Well, that seems unhealthy.
It explains a lot.
Not since I built that human centipede.
Wait, that was you?
Yep. Shut up, Omar.
Wait, you have a guy named Omar with you in there?
My Secret Service detail.
Named Omar. You might want to look into that.
Yeah, it's a little concerning to me.
Yesterday at Seattle-Tacoma International Airport, Kevin, they found another guy with a loaded handgun in his luggage trying to get onto a plane, in his carry-on luggage. It happens hundreds of times a year all over the country. It's shocking to me. No wonder TSA agents are so miserable with their job. How tough is it to get people to realize you can't bring a loaded handgun onto a plane? We're going to give TSA agents the opportunity to yell at us, the traveling public, coming up after the top of the hour, because I'm sure they have an awful lot of things on their mind that they would like to say to us. So that is coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. It is finally a Friday, and I believe, I'm not sure if I've mentioned this or not, I believe today is the 7th of Rocktober.
1, 2, 3, 4.
We'll be right back. That felt good. That felt good, ladies and gentlemen. That's
we were
going
to do it last hour, but Omar was a holdout. We had to do some last-minute negotiating.
Yeah,
we
were going to replace him.
That's what happens when you make a terrorist part of your band.
Got ugly.
That's right, man.
He infiltrates, and then it's sleeper cell time.
Finally, Rocktober has arrived. Thank you.
That was the worst one ever, by the way.
I thought it sounded good.
We're rusty.
Worst one.
I thought it sounded good.
Ever.
That's a tough category, Ralph.
I know.
Really? A lot of competition.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, basically, all Melphon performances are tied for their worst gig ever.
How dare you?
Right? All right, let's move on now. Ralph is here. It's time for the Showbiz Beat on a Friday Kevin and Bean Show. What you talking about?
Remember I told you yesterday that Universal Pictures was trying a new experiment where they're going to take Tower Heist, their new movie, and put it into your home for just $60 3 weeks after the movie debuts in theaters.
So you get it before anybody else gets it on DVD or Blu-ray or anything else.
Or cable or anything else.
But $60.
The movie goes into theaters on November the 4th. 3 weeks later, it'll be available in your home in these selected cities, Portland, Oregon, and Atlanta, Georgia, via the cable system that they have a deal with. And so, technically, you could show your whole family at Thanksgiving Tower Heist for $60.
Sounds good.
I'd be interested to see how this works. I can't imagine paying $60, but...
This is the experiment. They want to see, you know, it's a test market thing to see how this would work. And we talked about it, yes, debated yesterday whether we would, you know, bite or not. Well, it didn't even dawn on me that some people may not be happy with this idea, not because it's $60, but because they own movie theaters.
Interesting.
Cinemark, a massive movie theater chain across the U.S., has announced yesterday they will not show Tower Heist at all.
Uh-oh, it is on.
Because of Universal's move. Really? You want to start putting in people's homes instead of driving them to our theaters? Then we won't show your crappy-ass little comedy, Universal, basically is what they're saying.
Doesn't seem like it was mean-spirited from Universal's point, but...
They are cutting out...
I guess.
...the movie theaters, really. Yes, I mean, it is a massive shift, especially 3 weeks into a run where you're hoping to get, you know, whatever movie has legs, you're hoping to get the income. And here's the thing about the movie business, you may or may not know regarding distribution. Theaters don't make a lot of money off of a movie's box office... Especially in the first few weeks.
Usually, yeah, they have to give most of that just to have the right to play the movie in their theater, right, Ralph?
Well, it's what they call in distribution, because my father was in distribution for films, so I kind of grew up around this. Usually it's what they call a 90-10 deal, which is 90% of your box office dollar goes to the theater, goes to the movie company.
Right.
So Universal, in the first few weeks of Tower Heist's run, would make 90% of every ticket sold.
Ah.
10% goes to the theaters, and then the theaters make a lot of money on concessions. That's when they make the majority of their money, actually. Then, as that run progresses deeper into it, let's say week four, week five, it goes to 70-30, and then 60-40 on out, usually for the remainder of the run. So they get more money, more percentage of that box office dollar, the longer the movie's in theaters. So, in essence, what Universal is doing is taking their big chunk in the first 3 weeks.
Interesting.
And then creating this other opportunity for people to see the movie and avoiding the movie theaters, which would get then their greater percentage of the ticket price. Ah. And also their concession money, hot dogs, popcorn, soda, that kind of stuff. So Cinemark says, no, this will not stand. And they said, if you're going to pull this stunt, then we won't show your movie at all.
Overruled!
So it is an interesting
battle
between entertainment powerhouses. Didn't even dawn on me yesterday that somebody might take offense to it, but apparently they have. And can you blame them?
Plus, we don't even know if it would work. I mean, we don't know that anybody would spend $60, but I don't blame them.
We'll find out with this film. Cinemark also announced that they will not show any Melphon movies after hearing that last little segment. Yeah, they're not going to put the Melphon 3D concert movie in any of their theaters, apparently.
Well, we're not going to give it to them.
Fine, we'll teach them. Go right into people's houses.
You can't fire us. We quit.
Johnny Depp has signed to star in another movie. How many movies now does this guy have in the pipeline?
It's ridiculous.
He's booked from now until, I think, 2067 in terms of making movies.
Yeah.
He's got the Dark Shadows vampire movie I know he's working on. They've been announced they're back to greenlighting the Lone Ranger movie that he's going to star in. I believe they're talking about another Pirates movie.
Yep.
Now it's announced he is going to star as legendary children's book author Dr. Seuss, Theodore Geisel, who sold more than 200 million books like Cat in the Hat and Horton Hears a Who and The Grinch Who Stole Christmas. He's going to do the biopic about Dr. Seuss. Just signed on to star in that. When are they going to get around to filming that? He's got like four movies in the works.
Yeah.
Do they have to run every movie by him first, see if he wants it?
I think everybody wants him to star in their movie, that's for sure.
He's always good.
Yeah, he already played J.M. Barrie, the guy who did Peter Pan. Remember that's Neverland, right. That movie? Did a real good job with that. So, it's a good time to be, good time to be Johnny Depp. Come see me Saturday night, tomorrow night, at the John Lovitz Theater, Hollywood Babylon. I'll be doing it there with the lovely and talented Catherine Reitman. She is a very sexy, very funny lady, and we have a good time. So, tomorrow night, 10 p.m., you can go to thelovitz.com or babylonralph.com for details and for tickets. Love to see you come out. Today's
Friday.
No? Today? No. Today is Friday. Friday. Tomorrow is Saturday. If you listen to the lyrics, she'll tell you. Today is Friday. Tomorrow is Saturday. Sunday comes after that.
So it's on Sunday?
No, it's on Saturday. Tomorrow night, 10 p.m.
But it's you and Kevin Smith, right?
Kevin is out of town. It's me and Catherine Reitman.
I see.
Lovely and talented daughter of director Ivan Reitman and sister of Jason Reitman, the director. And she's a very funny, talented woman.
So
you're
not
doing
anything tonight.
No, tomorrow night. 10 p.m. tomorrow night. Today's celebrity birthdays. TV personality Joy Behar is 69 years old today. Russian Prime Minister Vladimir Putin celebrates his 59th birthday. Toni Braxton is 43 years old. Tom York of Radiohead is 43 as well. Actor Sean Ashmore celebrates his 32nd birthday. And Simon Cowell of American Idol fame and now currently can be seen on X Factor. Or not seen in my case. Not watching the X Factor, but I'm sure people are.
Sure.
He is 54 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, thanks a lot for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. The beautiful actress Evangeline Lilly. You know, of course, from Lost, and now she's in this new Real Steel movie, joins us next hour. Hey, if you go to KevinBean.com, can you see Kevin's gallery? Oh, Evangeline Lilly photos? Is that up right now?
Yes. I was a little worried that people wouldn't know who we were referring to.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
She's been off TV a minute, right.
Just refreshing our memory.
A few photos, just so you are aware of who
what is there,
is.
Like 100?
Maybe.
Ding, ding.
Anyway, so please check that out at KevinBean.com, and we will talk to her next hour right here on The Kevin and Bean Show.
You know, there are many jobs that we know we are not capable of doing, and one of them is the TSA. And I'll tell you why. I went to Vegas last week, and it was a Friday, so it was a little busier than usual. But, my God, those people have to be miserable. They want to tell everybody off because they say the same thing to every single person.
Yeah.
If you have liquids, take it out.
Yeah.
And then they go through and they go, whose bag is this? You have a bottle of water. Oh, I forgot. And then they say to the next person just about to go through, if you have liquids, take it out. And then they go, whose bag is this? Here's a bottle of Gatorade. Oh, I forgot.
I thought that, I was thinking about this the other day, too. There are a lot of jobs that are bad because they are boring and they are repetitive. But I think the TSA job is even worse because not only is it boring and repetitive, like, working at a parking garage and, taking tickets. Not only is it that, but you also are thwarted every minute of the day by somebody else's stupidity. And how does your head not explode?
That's the same stupidity that the last person had.
Yes. How does your head not explode when you go, in 10 years after 9/11, how do you still think you can bring this onto a plane, sir? Do you not have a television? Have you not seen the news? Have you never flown before? Have you not been paying attention? Wouldn't you just blow up all the time?
That's why you and I would not make good TSA agents.
That's true.
Because it's not that hard. I mean, I fly a fair amount. I literally don't remember the last time they had to take something out of my bag or I beeped going through the scanner because, you know what? It's pretty easy to not do both of those things.
Imagine being as a TSA agent. Or even me. I mean, you really just go, come on, people. It's not that difficult. Do you have liquids or not? Just look, think.
Maybe if people got yelled at, they'd be better
about
it.
We would be better. Good point. All right, so we're going to take calls anonymously. We don't want to get anyone fired, but if you are a TSA agent or have been and you're frustrated with that job, go ahead and get those frustrations off your chest because I remember going to Lollapalooza. When was it? Dave?
About
four years ago?
4 years ago, yeah.
And we stood in line for an hour. The security line.
God, long line.
Taking forever. And Dave was complaining like crazy. We were there early enough.
Yeah.
We were going to make it and everything. Mm-hmm.
Well, you're right, because people just are putting their bags in, and then they get stopped and have to re-put their bags in because there's something in the bags.
Right.
So how hard is it to just see the person ahead of you and go, oh, yeah, I probably have that in my bag?
So I stand there with the king, and he's complaining for 20 minutes, complaining,
well,
30
really
minutes,
fun.
Complaining, 40 minutes, complaining, 50 minutes, complaining. What do you think happens? His bag goes through, and the TSA guy goes, whose bag is this? And I look at Dave, and I was like, you're kidding me. I'll stab you where you stand. And I'm not kidding you when I tell you, after, and this is why I think TSA agents must either have to turn off their minds or they're going to kill. Mm-hmm. And I think a judge would have to go, understandable, let you go.
You know they drink at night.
So they open Dave's suitcase and they pull out a Red Bull. And then they say, is this your Red Bull? And he says, oh, I forgot. And then they reach into his bag and they pull out another Red Bull. And they say, is this your Red Bull? And he says, now remember, this is the guy that's complaining for an hour about liquids in luggage.
Oh, not my fault.
And then he reaches in and pulls out. It's almost comically large. It's almost like a trash can full of Gatorade. I mean, it was
half his luggage was liquid.
The container of Gatorade was actually bigger than his luggage. I don't even know how it was like a clown thing where they started.
But you don't understand. It was going to be a long flight.
And you were worried you'd be parched?
Yes.
You needed electrolytes your flight to Chicago?
It was a gallon if it was any. I mean, it was a ridiculous. And I just looked at it and was like, you were the one that was complaining for an hour about every single person that didn't think about what they had in their luggage. And so this guy from the TSA pulled out two Red Bulls and
I forgot.
Couple of gallon container of Gatorade.
I thought it was in my check luggage. Was it?
And then how would that have helped you on the flight if it was in your check luggage?
Yeah.
Was it the point of having the liquid because it was a long flight? And you
were
gonna
be thirsty? After when I was done with the flight, I could have grabbed my beverages and then drank them.
Oh,
well,
Dave.
Who flies their beverages?
I don't know.
Don't they? You're not.
Well, they don't sell any beverages in Chicago.
You can't buy beverages at the airport. You can't buy them in Chicago.
Well, they're expensive, man. And if I have them, then
right.
You know.
But here's my point. If I'm a TSA agent and I have just had to stop 50 people in a row for having liquid in their suitcase, I don't know. And you're the guy that's complaining about it. Like maybe. Do a scan of your own stuff and just think, wow, I better take that giant vat of Gatorade out. That might be a red flag I'm complaining about other people.
It's not like you didn't have time in line to do your own personal inventory. And by the way, John, thank you for calling. Hang on. We're going to get to you in 1 second. We're looking for TSA agents who would like to, if you want, anonymously complain about passengers and what it's like doing your job every day. We're dying to talk to you. But the liquids is one thing. But for people who don't fly a lot, there are a lot of things to keep in mind. I mean, people who haven't been to the airport in a while may forget the shoes thing. They may forget the belt thing. They may forget that you got to take your laptop out of your carry-on and put that in a separate tray. There are an awful lot of ways that people can gum up the works.
Right.
But for the TSA guy who sits there and says those same things over and over and over and over and over again, it must just infuriate them that people can't get it yet.
I would pull a gun if I were TSA agent. I would say, take your stupid liquid out and take your computer. That's the thing, is that even if you've never flown one time before in your life, there's somebody there saying to you, take out liquids. If you have a computer, they say it just before you go through. So if it's the first time you've ever flown, you understand.
Right.
You have to put your computer in a separate compartment or whatever, push it through. And no one does that stuff. And yet,
and take off your coat. You got to take off your coat or your sweater. You know that. But I see it all the time. People, you know, they start to walk up to the, you know, to go through the monitoring. And people go, oh, you got to take off your coat.
Oh, belt.
All right. Let's talk to John real quick, which may or not be his real name. 1-800-520-1067. John, thank you for calling. Thank you for holding. You work or have worked for TSA?
For 10 years.
Oh, how do you not kill?
I was the initial TSA agent that rolled out Los Angeles Airport.
How do you not kill?
I mean, you do in your own way. But
I don't know what that means.
You have to act in a certain way. You have to be nice and mean at the same time.
I know, but that's the part that you're a better man than I. Like, I would lose it on Dave, on the King of Mexico. It's been an hour straight of me busting people with liquids. That guy comes
games out of it, and we used to just like, oh, okay, let's see how long we can, you know, mess with this person or whatever.
so the guys that are idiots, you'll make them take extra time.
You kind of have to sometimes to teach them a lesson.
I agree.
You know?
Yeah, but here's what they do. I know they keep all the liquids because it looks like a bar at the end of the day,
right?
And they just take them home.
Because I know there's people trying to take booze on the planes and stuff, so they just take them home.
We used to get bottles of wine. Remember when we couldn't bring liquid the first day? We go, oh, my God, you should have seen what we had.
I bet. Hey, I don't doubt it. And it's, by the way, if you know ahead of time, then it's on the traveler. Take it home, enjoy.
When you're watching 100,000 people do it before you, how don't you understand what's going on?
That's what I don't get.
From this country or not. I don't get it either. But
John, let me ask you this, John. How, if you can guesstimate for me, we just talked about all the different things that travelers screw up, whether it's the coat or the sweater or the laptop or the, you know, the toiletries or whatever. How many passengers in a row go through that do it right, where you don't have to go back and correct or redo their work?
How many? What is it, percentage-wise?
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, I mean, is it like, does somebody screw up every 50 people, every 10 people, every 5 people? How often are people unaware or violate the rules?
Every 5, I would say. Every 5 to 10 people, yeah. It's that person. You're like, oh, you got your water? You still got it? Like, even though you just saw me take it and hold it in front of you, I said, we can't take this. But, okay.
Yeah. And then the guy looked
at, I have to take it now.
And then the guy last Friday looked at the other guy like he was like, well, what do you want me to do with it? And the TSA agent was like, well, you just can't have it. So, sorry.
You know, I'm going to defend those people.
Throw it away, you or me.
Right.
I'm going to defend those people and say that. People like me keep their job interesting.
That's not interesting.
Because if it wasn't for people like me, then they'll just be like, pass, and keep them on their toes.
You used to what, John?
We used to give them the option. Do you want to take this outside and drink it? You got to go outside the checkpoint. And they would go, oh, what? And I just, think about it. I'm throwing it away. And I was dropping it in the trash. I'm sorry.
All right, listen, John, we're almost out of time. Why do you still do this job? It has to be a miserable job. Is it just that the benefits and pay are good?
It's okay. The pay's all right. I mean, what do you think?
Hey, right now, John's
it's the
job.
Government. They're messing with us a lot. Yeah, it's a government job. It's not that well of pay. Trust me.
Right. But
as more hazardous pay for what we deal with.
No, I agree, John. Well, thank you for your service down there at LAX, man. We appreciate you calling in. Thanks very much.
Thank you
all
for
right.
having me on.
All right. Bye. We got to take a break. We have a couple other TSA agents who have something they'd like to add to John's story, and we're looking for your calls too. 1-800-520-1067. And we might ask this question as we get each TSA person on. What should you be allowed to do to somebody like Dave when he comes through?
Stab him.
maybe that's one option.
Is that too much?
Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Friday. By the way, I don't know if we're allowed to mention this or not, but Monday here on the show, we announce our latest Breakfast With.
We are not.
How about that?
We
huge
not
band.
Allowed, not allowed to
tiny
mention
place.
That.
Very popular band.
Not supposed to say that.
Have it for you Monday right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, we're talking about TSA agents and what a hell job you have. And how do you not take one of the guns that somebody's trying to get through in their luggage and just mow down everybody in the place?
There are a lot of jobs that I know I couldn't do. And that, you know, dealing with the public, I think if you're a waiter, waitress, if you're at the TSA, I get so tired of people's crap. Yeah. And Lisa May came up with a great idea during the break, and that is they should be able to use whatever you have in your luggage against you. So if you have a bottle of water, they dump it on you. If you have a knife,
I see.
If you have a knife, what
you
do
get
they do?
Stabbed.
They stab you. If you have a gun, goodbye.
Yep. Sorry.
Do that one day. No one will have any problem with it for the rest of time.
Speaking of having a knife, let's talk to Ronald, which may or may not be his real name, on line 3, talking to TSA agents briefly to find out what it's like on the other side of the screening process. Hi, Ronald. Thanks for hanging on, man. You had somebody come through with a knife?
Yeah, we had one guy actually came in with his tool bag and had WD-40. He had a couple pocket knives, had a couple sharp, I think they were Allen wrenches.
Sweet.
And why did he think that was going to be okay?
He told me that he needed his tools for a trip that he was doing in Sacramento and that he didn't think it would be a big deal. He actually asked if they could store it in the captain's closet.
I'd like to put it there personally if I could halfway through the flight.
Yeah.
You heard us talking to John, a fellow TSA agent, a few minutes ago. Anything you want to add to what the day-to-day job is like for you, Ronald?
Oh, it's just like, this is another job, man. Everyone wakes up, does the same thing every day. You just get used to dealing with idiots day after day.
But this is exceptional because you say out loud to them just before they do it what to do, and then they do it, and then they do it wrong, and then you go, hey, didn't I just tell you? Don't you at least want to say, didn't I just tell you?
Yeah, and a lot of them just tell me, oh, well, I thought I wouldn't get caught. I thought I'd just be able to go through.
Wow. Oh, so sometimes people know they have the stuff in but think they're going to get away with it. It's not just that they forgot it was there, huh?
Oh, yeah. Actually, sometimes they actually get away with it, water bottle or two.
Hmm. All right.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Thank you very much for the call. Let's try Mike. He screened baggage for 9 years and joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Mike. What's going on, dude?
Yeah, I've always been in the baggage side, so not up the checkpoint where you go through in the metal detector,
right,
but where your luggage goes through.
Mm-hmm.
And
back in the day, we used to get really, really busy, and we had our machines in the lobby, so you had to bring us your bags, you get them in the line.
I remember that. Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
So I'm trying to get everybody kind of ready so I can take their bags faster once we get moving again. I tell them, all right, I'm going to ask you three really simple questions. Do you have any film in your bag? Do you have any firearms in your bag? Or is your bag locked? Anything other than yes or no is an incorrect answer. And everybody kind of smiles at me like, all right. First guy I ask, he says everything correct, perfect, goes, right? Second guy, you have any film in your bag? I have a digital camera. The guy right behind him starts laughing like, you stupid idiot. All right, well, sir, do you have any film in your digital camera?
Film. I said film. Says, I said the word film.
I have digital film.
Right. Oh, man. At that point, you should say, hand it over.
Yeah.
Hand it over. You get a free camera.
And smile, and I'm like,
wow.
Do you have any firearms?
Yeah.
So,
wow.
Very funny, Mike. Thanks so much.
I'm taking that camera.
Let's squeeze in Bill real quick. 10 years. 10 years as a TSA agent. How is it possible? You get the final word, Bill. What's it like from your perspective? Describe being a TSA agent and dealing with the public all day, every day.
Well, I'll tell you, it sucks. And I'm not using my real name because of it.
That's fine.
I do have a voice, and they know, you know, who I am. They won't know who I'm over the radio, I hope.
Okay.
But the bottom line is, well, what we do is we try to protect, you know, you people coming into our airport. We want to protect you.
I hear you.
We had a lady the other day come in. She had 3 gallons. I'm not kidding you. 3 gallons of vodka. And she's telling me that it's legal for her to bring it onto my plane. And I'm telling her, ma'am, listen, you can't do that. We got to take the vodka. No, I'm going to drink the vodka.
What?
I said, if you want to sit here before your plane and drink 3 gallons of vodka, we're not responsible for you. So eventually she gave up and we threw the vodka away. Well, we didn't throw it away. It somehow got in the back of my car.
Well, that happens.
Anyway, oh, well.
That's what you
can't do.
Hey, by the way, if you're the one that has to put up with that dumb woman, you should get the vodka.
I agree. That should be a perk of the job. Exactly. Well, it should be considered a tip.
Or the knife or the gun, whatever it is, should be all yours.
Let me tell you a really funny one and I'll let you guys go.
All right.
About a year ago, I was standing there and I noticed this guy was really hesitant about going through the line. So right away, I walk up to you and I start talking to you. That's my job. That's mm-hmm. what I do. I screen people.
Right.
So I go up to him. I start talking to him. I say, what's the matter, sir? You look a little nervous. Are you okay? He's all, I think I forgot something in my bag. I said, well, what'd you forget? He goes, I have a gun. I said, well, you need to step over here and let's take care of this real quick. So he didn't have a gun. He had an AK-47 that was taken apart.
What?
Yeah, it was all taken apart, and it was in his bag. And I'm like, sir, what are you doing with this? He's all, well, I was told I could transport it on a plane like this.
Told by who, Al-Qaeda?
Yeah, about this time, LAPD comes walking up to me and says, you know, they're in their machine guns and everything. They're in their tactical gear. They're ready for an assault,
of
right?
course.
So they walk up to me, and they ask me what's going on. I tell them. And they arrest the guy right away.
Sweet.
You know, oh, my God.
Airport. So we're standing there, and he's telling me that it was okay to do that, that he called his congressman, and the congressman said it was okay.
Well, that's good news.
That's fantastic.
Because I didn't know that. That's great.
We got to go. I'm so glad you called, Bill. I hope nobody recognizes your voice, although I suspect you are the most recognizable voice of anyone they know. But good luck with that, all right, sir? See you later, dude.
All right, thank you.
As weird as it is that LaQuisha watches Jersey Shore, the fact that she's now on a radio show following a Johnny Cash record is even more hilarious to me. Hi, LaQuisha. How are you?
I love Johnny Cash.
Oh, you do? I'm sorry. I wouldn't have expected that.
Yeah,
Why, Bean?
Why? Because I'm black? Because black people can't love Johnny Cash?
There aren't a lot of country music fans, I don't think.
Oh, I see. I got to listen to Charlie Pride or nothing. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not suggesting that at all.
Sure. Yeah, I get it. Oh, black woman can't love country music. Okay. I understand now. Why don't you and Hank Williams Jr. get together with your rowdy old friends and put on your hoods?
LaQuisha, there's no hoods involved here.
Uh-huh.
Some stereotypes are true. Look, I've been to country music shows. They are not a lot of tanned people in the audience. That's all I'm suggesting, okay?
But they're big and rich. They got a big brother works with them.
They do have that one guy. Yeah,
that's
you're right.
Right.
All right, let's
move
on.
No, you keep going. No, here's a shovel. Keep digging.
What about another show with no black people on it, Jersey Shore? You watched last night on MTV for us?
You like black music? You like R&B? You like Motown? You like rap?
I do. I like very much, yeah.
Oh, why? Why do you do that? You're white.
Okay, look, LaQuisha, the point isn't...
No, I'm not letting I'm not letting this go. This is where I draw the line.
Okay,
right now.
All right, good.
Enough you make me watch this goddamn show every week. Now you coming at me because I'm black. I can't like country music.
I'm not coming at you. You can like country music. I just was surprised to find out that you do. That's all.
I'm on LaQuisha's side
that's
of the line
right,
as well.
Kevin,
I'm outraged. Outraged by you being.
That's right. Outraged. That's right.
So, did Jersey Shore happen last night? Was that on MTV?
I'm going to give you an address, means you come by and just burn your cross on my lawn.
I'm not going to do that. I have no problem with you.
I want to make things easy for you.
I don't.
LaQuisha, you should just put a cross up and douse it with the, you know,
sure, why not just cut out the middleman? Just right. Take care of that for myself.
Just do it yourself.
Take some pictures, send him the bean. He can put them on his website
there you
or whatever
go.
He does.
Oh, how dare you.
That's
how
fine.
Dare you.
No, that's fine. I understand.
Hey, how about that Jersey Shore?
No, I don't think so. Not this week.
But
no.
Come on.
No, I don't think so. I'm not in the mood now.
But you watched the whole show.
I know I watched it.
So you're not, you don't want to play clips?
I don't believe I do. No.
All right. Let's turn to Bean then some more.
Bean, all right, I'll play the clips. I'll play the clips. Only because I know the people out there are waiting for it.
They are, yeah.
That's true.
I'm
that
not
is
doing
true.
It for Bean, no.
You shouldn't.
I understand.
I wouldn't do it for Bean either.
Well, you remember last week's episode, Snooki was so heartbroken that her boyfriend left Italy and went back to Jersey. When Gianni left her, she had no choice but to get into bed with the next guy she saw.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And that was Vinny, and then they had some sex. Well, surprise, surprise, Snooki wakes up the next morning, and she doesn't know what she did.
Oh, please. Be cool if we could hear that clip.
Sure would.
Like that.
This is not going well.
What's Bean do now?
I don't know.
Now a black woman can't play a clip
down
on your
radio
show?
What did you do to her clips, Bean?
Not a thing. I'm just sitting here minding my own business, LaQuisha. It's not me.
Hmm.
Still can't hear
that. Wow. Bean. Wow. This is ugly. I got to tell you.
Did you hear that?
No.
Nope.
You didn't hear that. We heard it in here.
Yeah, well.
How was it?
Not coming.
It was very entertaining.
Was it good?
How about having program one putted up, not program two?
Wait, is who's that? LaQuisha, who's there at the hair
well,
salon?
Who is that?
That's my cousin, Lamore.
All right, try the clip again, LaQuisha.
Nope.
Nope.
All right.
I guess I wasn't kidding when I said I wasn't going to play no clip.
I know.
Well, this was
disappointing. You threw everything off. I'm angry at you.
I had nothing to do with it. Well, LaQuisha, thank you for watching anyway, and I'm sorry, sorry we didn't get a chance to enjoy the program.
Hey, I heard that. What was that?
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Oh, never mind. Lamora says it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
No, it's the wrong thing.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Okay. All right.
This has been very fun on every possible level. I get insulted for my race, uh-huh. And now you're doing something with my equipment so I can't play what I need to play.
It's Lamora.
We apologize, LaQuisha. Have a great weekend. We'll try again next time, okay?
I don't think so.
It was a good use of your time, I think.
I don't think so.
I'm happy with how your time was used.
Andrew writes, so I deliberately step out of class at 7:40 on a Friday morning for the sole purpose of listening to the Jersey Shore recap.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for effing everything up. You had to go picking on my girl, LaQuisha. Thanks, Bean. As usual, it's your fault.
Nice work, Bean.
I didn't have anything to do with whatever technical problems were going on.
You rattled her so much, obviously, she couldn't work whatever she was doing from her end.
Misread her musical taste based on conversations we've had with her over the years.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry.
Sure, that's
I wasn't
what it
trying
was.
To offend anybody.
It was based on conversations.
We'll see if that's we can get her back on the phone, and then we'll call that guy and get him back out of class or school or wherever he's.
She won't take our call at this point.
That was like the South in the 60s. They wouldn't let them eat at the counters in the cafeterias because of conversations they had had with them. That's how they decided those kind of things. I understand. I understand how it works.
Who is Cousin Sal picking for the NFL weekend ahead? We'll talk to him coming up next. Also, the movie beat next hour and the beautiful actress Evangeline Lilly all coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Well, it's a tough day for Hank Azaria. First of all, yesterday, NBC announced his sitcom Free Agents.
What?
Free Agents.
Saw it twice.
Sitcom. Lisa, do you just have a wall of televisions at home? You're just watching everything?
Try to see everything.
Who's watching Free Agents?
Well, I stopped because it's bad.
Who goes?
So they made the right decision.
Who starts out with the goal of seeing everything once? I mean, don't you have to just read stuff out based on your taste? And
nope, not Lisa. She is just a human Nielsen box.
It's fun.
It is fun.
Was it fun when you watched that show twice?
That's a bad show.
Not at all.
Well, you don't have to worry about that one anymore. NBC announced they're canceling Free Agents.
Not Lisa's fault, though.
It is joining the Playboy Club on the pile of failed fall shows for NBC. So, Hank Azaria, star of Free Agents,
He loses that show. And then at 12:01 today...
Uh-oh.
No.
We will find out
Oh.
whether it is Fox's take-it-or-leave-it offer to the cast of The Simpsons is accepted or not. It expires. Their offer expires at 12:01. That's when they have to make their decision. There has been a deadline.
Okay. Noon or midnight, Ralph?
12:01 today, 12:01 p.m.
PM, all right.
Afternoon.
So okay.
No, they're not waiting for a phone call in the middle of the night whether they're going to take it or whatever. No, 12:01.
Yes, I'm sorry. I do not speak English. Okay.
There's Hank there. Simple negotiation, pretty much. Studio says they want to cut their salaries to $250,000 an episode, down from $440,000. The cast says they'll take just a 30% pay cut, but they want a small piece of the show's back-end profits, money from syndication, DVD sales, merchandising, and the like.
That seems like everyone wins, no?
Here's the thing. They say, now this is creative studio accounting.
Sure.
They say that the show has made nearly $4 billion since its beginning and cost about $3 billion to make. That's a profit of $1 billion for the company.
That's a sizable profit, no?
It is.
25% seems okay.
And they say since the show is ending, they'd like a cut of the projected $2 billion of revenue that will stream in afterward from syndication and home video sales and the like. So it sounds as if they were planning for the next season to be the last season anyway.
Oh.
But we may not get that depending on what happens today. So by 12:01, we should know more. But Hank's going through a tough time.
I guess so.
Another Hank going through a tough time, Hank Williams Jr. He, of course...
Oh, yeah.
Of course, the country music singer famous for asking, are you ready for some football? Or Monday Night Football over there on ESPN?
That song became synonymous with football for me. Like, that was just... That was great. I loved it.
It was a successful partnership, that's for sure.
Monday Night Football was coming. It was just fantastic.
ESPN has separated themselves from Hank after he went on Fox News and drew a correlation between President Obama and Adolf Hitler. Bean, you and him should get along fine. Right? Between
how
you,
dare you.
Your comments to LaQuisha and
dare you.
His feelings about President Obama. So now Hank says it was his decision to leave. You can't fire me. I quit.
Wait, ESPN didn't air him last week and has since fired him.
Right.
And now he's saying...
After reading hundreds of emails, he writes on his website, I made my decision by pulling my opening on October 3rd.
Oh, he's saying this past... Oh.
He says not only is he not working with them anymore, but he's the one who pulled his own opening from ESPN.
As if he has the right to... even the ability to do that if he wanted to, by the way.
Waddling into the control room and yanking the tape out of the machine. ESPN, you stepped on the toes of the First Amendment freedom of speech. So therefore, me, my song, and all my rowdy friends are out of here.
I'll bet he has a song that has rowdy friends in it.
Well, that's one of his biggest hits. All my rowdy friends have rowdied on down or whatever the hell it is.
Settle down, right.
Yeah. So, acrimonious split between Hank and ESPN.
You know, they're the enemy. They're the enemy.
They are.
Yes?
I'm just upset that LaQuisha got treated the way she did.
Me too. I'm very upset.
I will be happy to testify in her defense when this whole thing goes to the inevitable lawsuit.
It was a little misunderstanding.
I will be happy to testify on her behalf.
We all heard
Look,
it. Man.
Yeah. This is just like you were shocked that Lisa had been watching the Hank Azaria show.
Actually, I wasn't shocked at all by that.
Yeah, you guys know this.
It was just continuing disguest. This is brand new. I had no idea that you guys harbored these feelings.
You guys expected LaQuisha to be a Johnny Cash.
I wouldn't expect one way or the other. I wouldn't assume anything based upon anything I know about LaQuisha as to what her musical taste is.
Here we go. It's on. Race war.
Yeah.
Race war's on, everybody. It's going down. It's going down.
Apparently it's Bean versus the African-American community.
Yeah, you've never been to a Johnny Cash concert. I've been to several.
All right. Well, I guess you know everyone who likes Johnny Cash then because you've been to a few of his concerts.
I'm just saying.
What are you saying?
I'm saying that some stereotypes are true. That's all I'm saying. Oh. There are very few African American country music fans.
I think that's I think that's in the CBS Radio Handbook where it says some stereotypes are true. I believe I read that in the study guide.
That's rule one.
When I was taking that corporate test, we all had to take.
That's rule one.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays: Joy Behar is 69 years old today. Vladimir Putin is 59. Simon Cowell's 54 years old. Tony Braxton is 43 years old today.
Oh.
Do you like Tony Braxton?
She's way hot.
Yes, I like her very much.
Oh, I'm surprised. With her being African-American, all you being white, I wouldn't think, knowing what I know about you, that you'd like be a Tony Braxton fan.
I'm a huge fan, and I like whatever you like.
Radiohead singer Tom York is 43, and actor Sean Ashmore celebrates his 32nd birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Finally Friday, thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Actress Evangeline Lilly from the new movie Real Steel joins us in a few minutes. You can go to KevinandBean.com right now and see. And you got to give Kevin a lot of credit for how much time and effort he put into this gallery of Evangeline Lilly photos. Well, I mean, you're committed to your job that you were willing to spend that much time looking at her yesterday.
Right, and I wanted to make sure our listeners knew who we were talking
that
about.
That must have been difficult.
It was
for
really,
you.
Yeah, it took a long time.
So much else you really wanted to do with your time.
I didn't enjoy
it. Stuck doing that.
If you're saying I enjoyed it, I didn't.
I can hear that in your voice.
Also, the movie beat coming up, and since it's Friday, Jimmy Kimmel's Cousin Sal. The Cousin Sal is how you find him on Twitter, and you can read his blog about football and whatnot at grantland.com. Sal, how are you, my friend?
What's happening, fellas?
We have something in common before we get into talking about football. I was on your Grantland.com blog today, and I see that you are equally fascinated as we are by Nancy Grace farting on national television.
Oh, isn't that terrific? Isn't that just great? I hope she focuses all her efforts to get into the bottom of this, because it can't be anyone else, right?
It has to be her, but I don't know. It's almost too good to be true. Like, she's squatting down. It's almost like somebody added it.
It was like Corolla who was going for loud. You know what I mean? Like, there was no effort whatsoever to prevent it from getting on. It's almost like she was bragging. It was
yes,
so good.
Exactly. There did seem like some Police Academy sound effects attached to it. But she's grabbing her stomach and her rear end at the very moment the horrific noise comes out. It is too good to be true.
Do we have time to play the audio from that before you give us your picks?
Please do,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, this is Nancy Grace, and she's fugged.
I saw them several times during the dance, and they were smiling so big.
Well, let's see if the judges can give us
come on. Come
it
on.
Is awesome. It is awesome.
It's an odd strategy, but I'll tell you what, I voted for her 8 times after that.
I'll bet you did.
Sure. How could you not? We know how much you love the farts. All right, let's talk some football. First of all, 2-1 last week against the spread. You shocked the world by being the only guy out there picking Cincinnati over Buffalo. Congratulations on that, Sal.
Yes, thank you. After 25 years, my ridiculous theories are finally coming to fruition.
Well, one of them did. Don't get crazy.
Okay.
You also had the Panthers winning last week. Unfortunately, you goofed with the Eagles, but who ever thought they would lose that game? I mean, you were probably feeling fairly confident even into the fourth quarter last week.
I did, but this is what they do. They blow leads, and now they're matched up against the Bills this week. And you know, last week I said they were a trap game. The Bills were against the Bengals.
Right.
And these 3-point spreads are scary. I don't know if you guys are as scared of them as I am.
Well, 3-point spread basically is a home field advantage, isn't it? I mean, basically it's that.
Right, when the home team is favored by 3, the odds makers are basically saying, okay, these two teams are even,
yeah.
And had they played the other way, the other team would be favored by 3.
Right.
But
so, of course, that's scary.
Right, but I think it's another trap game. This time, the Bills on the other side of the trap. I like the Bills plus 3 over the Eagles. I mean, everyone's saying the Eagles are 1-3, they have to right the ship, and, you know, I haven't seen anyone take the Bills. I say they're not done with their slide, the Eagles. I mean, this Andy Reid can hold the lead. And the dream team has overdosed on NyQuil. If you've seen their defensive part of the game,
yeah,
they don't do it. They don't put it together, and the Bills go up and down the field with relative ease. I say it's a mild upset. The Bills are second in the league with 11 takeaways. Trap game, Bills 26-20.
All right.
That is a very bold choice. All right, you also have the Patriots and Jets this weekend. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I mean, I hate so much picking against Tom Brady. So poised and a great offensive technician and such a beautiful bastard, you know it. But if the Jets can keep him, it sounds crazy, if they can keep him to 350 yards passing, they have a chance.
What?
They're second in the league against the pass. On offense, Mark Sanchez won't be under siege like he was against the Ravens. They have that 750-pound monster, the Pats do. If you could avoid throwing to him, you're in good shape. I think Rex Ryan figures it out, and the Pats win. Jets keep it close. I don't know who wins, but I'm getting 9 points. I don't care. I'm taking the Jets 30-28.
All right. Jets 30-28.
And you also had a lot to say about my beloved Seattle Seahawks. By the way, look, we all have frustrations with Tavares Jackson. We know he's not great, but you call him Hantavirus Jackson, and I just think that's mean, Sal.
Yeah, that didn't really track with the I don't know. There's not a lot of smart people. Maybe I'm the dumb one out there. No one knows what Hantavirus Jackson meant.
That's why we have you
on, you've got the Seahawks scoring less than 17. I thought that was interesting on your blog. And you also are picking the Giants. You can give away the 10 points, and the Giants still win, right?
Right, and I think, you know, they showed a little life last week, the Seahawks. They really did. They probably should have won that game, but I don't know. It's bizarre how the Seahawks go on the road and don't show up. And Eli Manning is quietly having a mistake-free, productive year. He's got like 8 touchdowns and 2 interceptions, and he's a magician out there. If he could get that acne to disappear, he would maybe take some endorsements from the club right now. But
that's true.
If you take a look at recent history, the Giants scorched the Seahawks 41-7 last year, 44-6 in 2008. Back in 2003, they beat them 136-19.
I don't think that's true.
Yeah, no, I barely remember.
Huh, I don't remember that. Okay.
And the frustrating thing about the Seahawks, and I don't know that there's this much disparity with any team in the league between their first half and their second half. Their first halves suck. They get themselves buried, usually down by 2 or 3 touchdowns. Then they come back. They make adjustments at halftime, which is what Pete Carroll has always been famous for, and they play very competitively. Last week, they played great in the second half. Still wasn't enough because they started out so weak.
And I think that's the same thing. They're going to be too far behind here. And plus, you know how I like that stupid East Coast, West Coast thing. They're traveling. So I don't even think they have enough spirit in them in the second half. I apologize, Bean, but I don't even watch this game if I'm you. I think the ghost will see Hugh Jackman fighting robots. 27-7. Giants give the 10 over to Seahawks.
Wait, not only are you not going to watch it, you say Bean shouldn't watch it.
No, he should not watch it. All right. Get out of the house.
All right.
All right. Buffalo +3 over Philadelphia, Jets +9 over New England, and you got New York -10 over the Seattle Seahawks. And, of course, we'll put that up at KevinAmin.com as well. You can read Sal on Bill Simmons' fantastic sports blog, which is at Grantland.com, and look for all of his good stuff, including hilarious video stuff on JimmyKimmelLive.net. Sal, you are the best man. Have a great weekend, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
Oh, you guys are sweet. Thanks. Thank you, guys.
Friday on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll talk to the star of Real Steel, one of the stars, Evangeline Lilly, coming up in a few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And that's one of the movies Ralph will be reviewing for us right now in the Movie Beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Big, big, big weekend. Starting with the movie that Bean can't wait for because he is a twisted effer. The Human Centipede 2.
Yay!
Full sequence.
The subtitle.
I can picture that after seeing one.
Here's the premise. Of course, The Human Centipede, a film I also opted out of, was a sensationalistic sort of film oddity that a lot of people were talking about because of the twisted, disturbing nature of its subject matter.
Right.
Sewing people together. Front to back, in sequence.
Yes.
To create a long line of people sharing certain digestive properties.
And that's one thing you don't want to share with anyone.
No.
Yeah.
And I don't really need to see on the big screen, or small for that matter, or in a radio play version, or in a book about it. No real
you don't need
mass media of that subject matter for me.
Well, that was your loss because that movie was really good.
I'm sure it was. Yeah, I'm sure it was for you, the shallow grave crowd. I'm sure you people really got a kick out of it. However, those of us who like people stayed away. Now, here's the thing. The movie comes out. Everybody's making a big deal about it. Now, the sequel, the inevitable sequel, is coming out this weekend. And the premise is there is a mentally handicapped gentleman who lives on an island in the Pacific Northwest.
No, he doesn't. He lives in London.
And he sees the film and becomes obsessed with it and tries to recreate the experiment that happens in the film.
Okay.
So it's a film within a film concept.
Right.
And this disturbed gentleman who lives in a large pink house with a clown on top of it decides that he is going to improve upon the original film and make a larger number of people sewn together to create the human centipede.
That seems bad to you?
And this is significantly more graphic and disturbing than the original even was, so I've heard. Did not see this film.
Should, though. Going to.
Will not see
that's
this
what
film.
I mean. Right.
But maybe it's for some people.
Right.
Here is a scene from the film where the mother of this mentally handicapped gentleman is talking to a psychiatrist
about the fact that he keeps threatening to make a human centipede, which I think should be an indicator to people that this guy is in danger of trying to make a human centipede.
He keeps on talking about a centipede with 12 people. What does that mean?
The centipede can be considered a phallic symbol. Centipedes are very aggressive creatures. Their bite can be very painful. Maybe he's connecting the pain that a centipede inflicts with the pain inflicted on him through use of psychological and sexual abuse by his father.
World's worst psychiatrist. He keeps talking about sewing 12 people together, making a human centipede out of it. What could that mean?
Well, maybe it is he thinks the bug who lives in a glass jar is the symbolic of the fact that the see-through properties of the glass also equals the...
No! No, it means he's going to start kidnapping people and sewing them together, Doc.
It's also bad movie making, that kind of where they describe everything poorly. How about
picking up a phone and notifying the authorities? A little 911 action going on. What do you say?
F this movie.
I'm not in.
Also opening up this weekend, The Ides of March.
Oh, can't wait.
This looks good.
The Clune Dog, back where he belongs, up on the big screen. He all he did was co-write and direct and star in this film. That's all he does.
That's all.
Story of an idealistic staffer for a presidential candidate played by Clooney, who this staffer runs into a series of dirty political situations that strip away his idealism and makes him face the reality of politics, which is, as we all know, a dirty, dirty, dirty business. Ryan Gosling stars. Here's a scene from the film where Clooney is arguing with character played by Philip Seymour Hoffman.
I can't run from Ohio. They'll kill us.
Not if you get Thompson's endorsement.
I'm not going to do it. What does he want? The FDA or something?
Cabinet post.
Yeah. Labor?
State.
Are you kidding me? I'm going to give Secretary of State to a guy who wants to cut the top 10 floors off the UN?
Take his endorsement and the race is over.
Paul, I respect you. I respect your opinion. I'm never going to do it. So I suggest we find a way for me to win Ohio.
You know what? I don't like politics.
Yeah.
And I know we're going to be hearing a lot of it in the upcoming year.
We are.
But this looks so awesome to me.
I think it would be so depressing if we saw a lot of these real-life conversations that go on with real-life candidates, don't you?
Very intriguing. Looking forward to it. And Real Steel also opens up this weekend. As you mentioned, Evangeline Lilly stars along with Hugh Jackman. Set in the near future where boxing now has been left to the robots. Humans can't fight each other anymore. Too brutal. So they just put robots in the ring and they make them fight each other. And these people manage their robots the way they would boxers. Hugh Jackman plays a former boxer who now is managing robots. And he has to put a discarded robot that he puts together with the help of his son up against the champions to try to raise himself and his family from the depths to the heights. This was a film I had every intention of seeing last night.
What happened?
Yeah, you told us you were going.
I was going. In fact, I did go.
Oh.
What?
Here's the thing. The theater that the studio opted to screen the film at,
right,
was immediately adjacent to some sort of massive street fair event that was happening.
Okay.
So after 25 minutes of looking for parking and almost getting into a fist fight in an underground parking garage, I opted to turn my car around and go home.
Oh, yeah.
So, did not get a chance to see Real
Steel.
Well,
you're breaking the rules by seeing it anyway.
I think that's what the universe was telling me.
Right.
No, your job is not to see the films after, review the films rather after you see them. Yours is to review them from afar.
Correct.
So, due to the parking situation, I give Real Steel a thumbs down.
Wait, you were looking forward to this movie.
Why not?
It's not their fault.
It's not my fault.
But it isn't their fault.
Hey, you slow love down, boxing? Man. Why don't you slow down driving that car? Why don't you shut up?
Sounds like a personal problem that you had. There's nothing to do with this movie.
I almost jumped out. Oh, I almost got a crowbar in my trunk. Oh, man.
I'm not trying to hijack your review here, but you love boxing.
Yeah.
You love robots.
Yes.
You love Hugh Jackman.
Yes.
You love Evangeline Lilly.
Correct.
Seems like this would be
thumbs
the perfect
way,
movie
way down.
For you to endorse.
What are you talking
thumbs
about?
Way, way down.
Because you couldn't park.
That's right.
Dumb.
Well, look, I got to review something. I didn't see the movie.
So you're reviewing,
I'm
the,
reviewing
parking.
The parking.
Thumbs down on the parking.
Wildly, wildly upset. I was very angry driving home last night, and it cannot help but color my review of this film, to which I say is maybe one of the worst films ever released.
Maybe you need to recuse yourself.
I don't think so. I think I'm pretty sure it's an awful film.
It's getting pretty good reviews.
I'm pretty sure it's horrible.
Across the board.
I get the sense it's a bad, bad film.
But we're going to talk to Evangeline Lilly next.
I think Hugh Jackman killed a dude. In real life.
In real life.
In real life, yeah. That's yeah, what I'm pretty sure would happen. So here's a scene from the film where Jackman is explaining the rise of robot boxing.
I mean, people wanted more carnage, more show. You had the whole Brazilian underground, the Gracies, the Machado, Jiu-Jitsu, Muay Thai, and a thousand styles in between. Full on ground to pound.
Look at this.
What's that?
I don't know.
Not bad. Good spot, kid. Still had human fighters, human bodies, so couldn't give the people what they really wanted. True, no holds barred violence. So, the next logical step, get the humans out of there and let the machines kill each other.
And they do.
All right.
Bad, bad film.
Bad parking.
Bad film.
You're reviewing your parking.
I'm saying sometimes a movie can be so bad it spills out into the parking lots. That's all I'm saying. Wildly disappointed.
It's getting great reviews.
I do not care for
all
it.
All right.
I'm very upset.
Okay.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman's Ralph Garman movie beat.
That's so tender and beautiful at the end there. I almost teared up a little bit. Hey, thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Friday. Looking ahead toward Monday, by the way, big, big announcement. The latest Breakfast with Big Band Tiny Place. You can be there and help us interview the band as they play live. That's coming. Also, actor Hugh Laurie from the TV show House is going to be with us on Monday. Jason Schwartzman stops by. And we'll have Andrew Siciliano from DirecTV Red Zone. He's coming in, too, to break down what we see this weekend in the NFL.
Hey, yes. Bean.
What?
We got Evangeline Lilly on the line.
Well, I know. I just
you're
tell
flapping your gums.
Yeah, you need
just
to
telling
talking.
People about Monday. I just because I got a big
that?
Show. I want people
why
to come.
Why don't you do less of that and more of talking to Evangeline Lilly?
Because my fear is, hi, Evangeline Lilly. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, my dear.
Don't worry. I'm very excited about Monday, too.
See? There you go. Thank you. And I'll tell you why, Kevin. Here's my fear. They hear we have Evangeline Lilly on, and they go, well, that's it. Once that interview's over, I'll never listen to the Kevin and Bean Show again. What's the point of tuning in again after that? I just want to make sure they know there's...
Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
What kind of horrible interview do you think I'm going to give?
No, it's not you. It's us.
It's that we peaked.
No.
It's that they think we have nothing good to offer because we've already peaked. It's Christmas morning having you on. Now everything else is just bad.
Now
so
it's the day after and we got to take everything back.
Exactly. Okay. Well, first of all, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show. It's been a long time since we talked to you. How are you?
I'm wonderful.
You have been in New Zealand working on that little Hobbit movie? Is that where you've been the last while?
That's where I've been for the last month.
Is that what they're calling it, that little Hobbit movie?
That's what you're calling it.
Yeah. Okay. Just checking.
And how crazy, I know we want to talk about Real Steel, we'll get to it in a second, but how crazy is it being down there in the country that Peter Jackson owns? Is it just so much fun living there and working there?
It's a beautiful country. I've been there once before, but not in this respect, obviously, not working with Pete Jackson. So it's really special. It's really fun, and they're such an incredibly supportive team.
Oh. What was that? Did someone just yell?
No, I don't know.
That's the sound. I'm nursing my baby.
Oh!
Unfortunately, when you're pressed for time, you do it when you can.
You're multitasking. All right. No comment, Bean. No comment.
What did you think
no
I was going to say?
We're
talking
say
to Evangeline
anything.
Lilly, and she has a boob out. That's all. I had to mention that. That's all.
Man.
All right. Real Steel opens everywhere today. The commercials look awesome. We've been seeing it for a while. Of course, you know, you can't go wrong with Hugh Jackman. There's no one better in the world than Hugh Jackman. But what made you excited? Because you don't do a lot of movies, Evangeline Lilly. What made you excited about being in a Rock and Sock'em Robot movie?
Well, what made me excited was, like you just said, Hugh Jackman. Since I saw The Fountain by Darren Aronofsky, I thought he was one of the most talented male actors out there, and I really wanted to work with him. And then I read the script, and you know, I got 30 pages in and went, Rock'em Sock'em Robots, no, not my thing. And then I got like 130 pages to the end and went, and you know, I had goosebumps and I had tears in my eyes, and it was such a sweet, heartfelt, beautiful movie that I really wanted to be a part of it. I thought it was a film that reflected the children's films and stories of my day, you know, when I was a kid, when everything for children had to have a moral and had to be pure and
right.
had to be cynical. And I just don't think there's anything out there like that anymore. And I find that, you know, now that we've been screening it with people, even audiences who are adults like myself are enjoying it as well, because I think people are aching for something that's got some purity and some heart in it nowadays in this world of, you know, cynical movies.
Interesting. And I do understand that we kind of get to know and even, you know, root for and fall in love with and identify with some of these robots, which I think people are surprised about once they sit down in the theater. They don't expect that to happen, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think they expect the robots to just, you know, be these steel things that beat each other up and to feel adrenalized and to feel excited. But I think that they're all given individual personalities, and thus you get to connect with them and either connect with them or not connect with them. And one of the main stars of the film is this little robot called Adam, who's this underdog robot that you can't help but have a little soft spot for.
All right, but I just have to check. You know it's a robot, right?
I know it's a robot.
Okay, I'm just checking. I just want to make sure that
there's a whole lot of debate out there. I mean, I was at a screening where there was a Q&A afterwards, and there was, like, we surveyed the audience, and 50% of the audience was convinced that robot was a living being.
All right.
Wow. Interesting. We're talking about the film Real Steel that opens everywhere today. Actress Evangeline Lilly is on the phone, and we don't get to talk to you very often, Evangeline, so we're always happy when we do. I got the feeling, and maybe I'm going to sound foolish here, and maybe this is a dumb thing to say. I always got the impression that you were not somebody who wanted to be an actress or wanted to be a movie star. You kind of fell into it. And I was afraid after Lost went off the air that you were just going to disappear. You were going to leave the industry and we'd never see you again. I'm so happy you didn't.
Well, you know, you're not wrong. And I don't think that that's an unfair assessment of, you know, where I was at. And when I was working on Lost, I just really felt like there was other things that I was more passionate about. And I still feel like there's other things I'm more passionate about that I'm working towards. But in the meantime, it just happened to be that two opportunities arose that I just couldn't say no to. And I think everyone, you know, in my life in the industry kept telling me, that's what's going to happen, by the way. You're going to say you don't want to act, but then these great opportunities will come and you won't be able to resist. And apparently, they were all right.
That's best case scenario, right? That's best case scenario that they come along and you go, I can't resist, I got to do it.
Yeah, that's what you want as an actor, right?
Sure.
You want things that are irresistible as opposed to like, oh, I have to work because otherwise I won't pay my rent.
Right.
Right. And do you find in our remaining moments here, do you find that you love the craft of acting? That's something that's still really, really enjoyable for you? Or is it just something that you're really, really good at and a lot of people like to see you do?
I think it's more the latter, although I have to say, when I worked with Hugh Jackman, he was such a joy to work with that I actually discovered that acting could be fun. And I really hadn't found that in the past, that acting could be fun.
It was just
I always sort of found that acting was a great big chore. Like, it was difficult. It was hard. It was a lot of pressure, and it was difficult to do.
Well, you'd go into makeup on Lost, and they'd put mud on you.
Yeah.
How long can you enjoy that?
Well, and I'm running from an invisible smoke monster. I think talking to real human beings is a lot more fun.
Exactly. Well, you're a fascinating person, and the movie is called Real Steel, and it opens up everywhere today with Evangeline Lilly and Hugh Jackman, and Hope Davis is in it, and Rock and Sock and Robots. I mean, it seems like it has a little something for everything. I'm so glad we got a chance to talk to you again, and maybe, you know, when The Hobbit comes out, maybe you'll come on back. We'll do it again.
All right, that sounds like a deal.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye. Have a good weekend.
Thank you.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Earlier today, we tried to speak with our friend LaQuisha with a review of last night's Jersey Shore. We had some technical trouble. We are going to try again, believe it or not, after the top of the hour. Thanks for tuning in. It is a Friday, and I believe it's the 7th of Rocktober.
1, 2, 3, 4.
I think that was a good sesh.
There it is. That happened.
Right. Thank you. That happened. A little rusty after 11 months off, but okay. Well done. Time for the Showbiz Beat now here on a Friday Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, Ralph?
The old days, everyone stopped when the drummer did. That's how Melfon used to go.
See, this is what happens. We start arguing and infighting, and then we break up again.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I think our initial decision about Melfon may have been the right one.
think we'll be going back to that next week.
Aww. I think the problem is the Melphons had a little bit of success, and some of your bandmates are looking to establish a solo career. Uh-huh. So they just are, hey, shine the spotlight over here for a minute. I think that's what's happening, Ralph.
I see.
I know I'm going off on my own with the cowbell.
You should. You should do your own cowbell album. Your cowbalbum, as they call them. Boy, do I hate this show today.
Come on, Ralph.
On every level.
I think it's
Friday,
going well.
Right?
It's Friday. Yeah.
Don't start the joint.
What about the beautiful Evangeline Lilly?
She was charming.
Did you hear the near disaster, Ralph?
She was charming.
Did you hear the near disaster with Bean?
About getting a boobie out?
Very near disaster, yes.
That's not a near disaster. That was disaster.
I think so too.
I didn't bring in the emails. They're in the other room. I wouldn't bring them in. The emails. So someone in the psychiatry business emailed and said, seriously, you need to have Bean get a consultation. He cannot not talk to a female guest now without doing something creepy.
Yeah. That's correct.
She brought up the fact that she had a boob out.
And you I ignore that?
I'm supposed to ignore that?
You ignore that.
You think people don't know what I am breastfeeding means?
No, I'm just saying. I think it needs to be celebrated.
Creepy alert, creepy alert, creepy alert.
Christian writes, Senor Creepy strikes again. Despite Kevin's attempt to stop him, she's got a booby out. Poor Evangeline Lilly. Juan Castillo writes in, dude, the Evangeline interview was ruined due to you-know-who's pervert behavior. She's got a booby out. What the F? I work in psychiatry and strongly recommend you-know-who be seen by a psych professional. What a pervert.
Well, they're wrong. They obviously have issues. Just because they can't appreciate the beautiful woman that I can, I think they've got problems.
I think we all appreciate her.
And we all thought what you were saying, but don't say it because you're not a child.
That made me sound creepy.
Yes.
Man, before I get to showbiz news, I do have some passes to give away to the red carpet world premiere of The Thing. Yay! Monday, October the 10th. It's in theaters everywhere Friday, October the 14th, but you'll get to see it before anybody else and at the red carpet premiere with the cast and crew if you're one of the first three callers that gets through right now at 1-800-520-1067. First three callers to get through, pair of passes to the red carpet of The Thing.
How's parking looking for that event?
I heard they've got plenty of parking, wide open.
Excellent.
Plenty of parking for you. So you have a good
had a listener email named Cher writes in, if Ralph were walking the movie beat like he claims, he wouldn't have had any trouble parking.
I would have had to walk from Pasadena to the movie beat to get to the theater. That was the only problem. It would have been a long, long walk.
Still be walking.
Would have got there in time for the closing credits. Mike, the Situation Sorrentino, heard you guys going to try to talk to LaQuisha again the next hour. He has got a new line of tuxedos.
All right.
Yeah.
Because when you, what?
When you think of Mike... The Situation Sorrentino, you think of tuxedos. He's developed a line of tuxes for something called Flow Formal Wear. And the line is called, as you can imagine, The Situation. The photos feature Mike in torn jeans, a tank top, chains, and a vest. In others, he's wearing a formal tuxedo jacket over his t-shirts.
Oh, that's unique.
Okay.
Never been done.
Fashionista.com said they can't decide what the skeeziest part of the so-called look is. His creepy pouts, his supremely awkward modeling poses, or the general tackiness of the collection.
I go with all three.
I do, too. Looking forward to seeing those photos sometime soon. While we're talking about celebrities and designing, Kim Kardashian is having a feud with a designer, jewelry designer, named Alexis Bitar. Apparently, he won't let Kim any more of his jewelry. She used to wear it on red carpets and stuff, but now he won't do it because she has come out with her own line of jewelry, and he says he has stolen her designs.
She's stolen his designs, really?
She's copying his look, which is chunky and shiny, and all of her line is chunky and shiny. However, in her defense, people close to Kim say she based her line on her ass.
That's true.
Which is also chunky and shiny, by the way. So she's got that going for her. And you've had bad food poisoning, haven't you, before?
Oh, yes.
Worst thing in the world, right?
It's not good.
Would you ever sue over it?
Never.
Yes.
What?
You would, beer
mugs?
Why?
I had it for 3 days. I almost died.
Right.
I could have died.
But whose fault was it? I mean, nobody intentionally gave you food poisoning.
No, it was the dirty restaurant's fault.
Wow.
It's one of those things. To me, it's just one of those things that happens. You get it? You accept it, move on.
I think Bean has a strong point. No one intends for you to get it. Certainly, a restaurant would not want to serve tainted food to their customers. It's not good business.
But what if they're keeping the refrigerator higher than the temperature should be or something like that?
Why do you ask? Is someone suing?
Pierce Brosnan's wife, Keely, has filed suit against a Santa Monica restaurant called the R&D Kitchen, which already sounds shaky.
Right. I don't go to anything that has R&D in it.
It's research and development, right? Aren't they already? Aren't they telling you they're experimenting before you even sit down there?
They're giving you a heads up right there.
Yeah. She says she suffered serious and permanent injuries to her health, strength, and activity because she got food poisoning.
Permanent?
How do you permanently damage yourself from a couple of days of throwing up?
She ate there 2 years ago.
Oh, please.
She wants unspecified damages after the meal, she says, made her feel sore, ill, and injured. By the way, have you ever seen photos of Keely?
Yes.
Pierce Brosnan?
Yeah.
She hasn't missed that many meals.
Is that right?
In the past 2 years.
She's been fine. She's been to the buffet.
So
that's ridiculous.
I'd say throw that case out. Yeah, she's got a boobie out. I'm bean. Yeah, that's her there on the right hand side. That's Pierce's wife.
God. Yeah. Wow.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Apparently, that meal made her puff up all over. Made her entire body swell. Maybe she does have a point.
They have a side by side with when she was married. She's five times the woman she was.
Yeah. Joy Behar is 69 years old today. We look at celebrity birthdays. Stop it. Russian Prime Minister Vladimir Putin celebrates his 59th birthday. There was a great website someone sent me, which was photos of Putin in action. You wouldn't believe this guy. He's like
incredible.
The most interesting man in the world. He's like the Dos Equis guy. There's one of him like holding down a tiger in a jungle while they trank it, and then he's another one scuba diving. He's driving a Formula One race car. He's playing hockey.
But I always thought he was like, it was all photo ops.
He lives his life
like
it. That.
Love it.
Nuts.
All the stuff that Kim Jong-il makes up about what a man he is, Putin's doing for real.
It's like the Russian James Bond. He's pulling up a buried treasure from the ocean floor and stuff. They got him holding stuff. It's insane.
And it's so, I mean, imagine in this country if four times a week, President Obama was at an event and took his shirt off. I mean, it's just crazy how often that happens in Russia.
He's riding horses without his shirt. He's got like a hunting rifle with a scope on it with his shirt off. He's firing at stuff. It's nuts. Simon Cowell's 54 years old today. Toni Braxton celebrates her 43rd birthday. Tom York of Radiohead is 43 also. And Sean Ashmore celebrates his 32nd birthday. His twin brother Aaron, by the way, also celebrates his birthday today, as you would imagine.
Sure.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We like to check in with our friend LaQuisha, who runs the Afro-Man Empire, with a review of last night's Jersey Shore. Not so much luck earlier today, but we sent a team out to the place, and I think we may have it fixed. So we're going to try again. Hi, LaQuisha. Welcome back, my dear.
We're going to try this again?
Yes, we are.
Yes.
All right, Kevin and David Duke.
Come on. You have to drop that. Come on.
I'm fine. Yo, just drop it. What? Get over myself? Stop being so uppity? Is that what you're asking me to
do? I'm saying I love you and I love your people. Let's not revisit that ugly chapter in our relationship from a couple of hours ago,
right.
Okay?
Let's just bury it. Let's like pretend it never happened. That's fine.
Okay,
I'll just get to the back of the bus. Don't you worry about me.
I'm not suggesting that at all. Let's change topics, however, and speak about last night's Jersey Shore on MTV. Did you watch?
Snooki wakes up in the morning after having slept with Vinny in the last episode, and this is her take first thing in the morning.
What the f*** just happened? What did you just do?
Yeah, she's pretending she doesn't remember anything that happened last night.
And it was somebody else? Was she saying, what did you just do to somebody else?
No, she was saying that in reference to herself.
Oh,
like,
I
this
see.
Is the question I asked myself when I got up in the morning.
All right. Mm-hmm.
So she cheated on her boyfriend, who literally walked out the door a few hours earlier, slept with Vinny, and now she's like, oh, I'm not sure what happened last night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, convenient.
Meanwhile, the situation is still trying to tell everybody that they hooked up. Snooki and him hooked up, and she keeps saying no. So he decided to play an evil, evil trick on her, where he's going to pretend to tell people that he had his friend, the unit, the situation's friend, the unit, call her boyfriend Gianni and tell him that they were sleeping together. Which is not that funny a prank, really.
Right.
But he thinks this will weed out who's talking behind his back in the house.
Pretty much my master plan is Jim Tan, who's the rat. I want to show people in this house that you can't believe everything you hear. So I'm going to tell the roommates a little lie, and I'm going to see who rats themselves out.
How can that backfire?
Not at all.
Well, it turns out it does, because Sammy goes to Snooki and says, situation's friend called Gianni, your boyfriend, and said that you and the situation were sleeping together. Well, Snooki does not react well to that news.
Really?
And by not well, I mean goes bat-ass crazy.
You,
Mike's dodging everything like the Matrix. She's throwing wine bottles at him. He's ducking them. He's moving all around. He's running from her.
He did look a little like Neo running around there.
She's something, huh?
She did not react well. But the whole time, by the way, she is swearing that she loves Gianni. She never hooked up with the situation, and nothing happened between her and Vinny last night.
But it did.
Well, Vinny feels bad because he says it's obvious that she still cares for Gianni.
It just messed up because she really cares about the kid, you know?
It looked like she cared last night. Snooki came into Vinny's bed wanting to smush with Vinny. I roomed with Vinny before. I know what it sounds like when he gets in. I know what goes down. And they got it in.
So Paulie's saying that's what happened.
Now, what are we watching a TV show where Snooki gets slayed by everyone?
A lot!
What?
She has a lot of sex.
But how? But
it's because she says yes a lot.
Is no one else available?
Listen, Kevin, you know.
She could say yes. You wouldn't go for that.
Men just need an opening.
Nope.
That's all. I mean, not like an Snooki's opportunity.
Oh,
I mean,
sorry.
Like Lisa with your filthy
Lisa,
mind.
Lisa, what are you thinking about?
My bad.
And she gives them opportunity. And men take advantage of that. But she's trying to get away from the house, trying to clear her mind. So all the girls decide to go on a wine tasting trip to Tuscany.
To clear their heads.
Good. They're going to learn about wine and go touring the countryside. Very classy affair. Everybody gets dressed up in their finest clothes and puts on their big hats. And they're leaving the house like four proper ladies.
You look so sophisticated and classy.
Right?
Ew. Nicole.
What?
You fart?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, Nicole.
And there goes our class.
They had class for 20 seconds.
Nope, they didn't even have it then.
And then Nicole let loose with a gagger. When they get to the vineyard, whatever you call it, they're there and they're trying to explain how wine is made and why they use certain grapes and what is on the labels of the bottles. And Snooki, you're wasting your time talking about this kind of stuff to Snooki.
This is the villa we're in right now. You can see this wall. That was bombed during World War II.
Cool history. Boo! Like, you know? Like, I'm not in geography anymore.
That's right. Wine. That's right. Don't waste her time with history because she's not in geography anymore.
Sure, cool. History, boo.
Boo, history, boo. I think Kevin and Snooki have a lot in common, actually.
How dare you?
Well, Snooki gets back from her wine trip, and she finds, I don't even know how to talk about it, the most tragic news any of us, I think, can get.
Oh, no.
In our lives. Now, this is all fun and games, this show and everything, but this really kind of broke my heart when I saw what she had to go through. There's some bad news waiting for her when she gets home.
Oh, my God! He changed his Facebook status to single.
Really?
Yeah, that means it's official.
He's an idiot, bro.
I f***ed up. Oh, I hate myself.
Well, now you know how we feel, Snooki.
No kidding. She finally got around to our point of view.
Gianni changed his Facebook status to single.
But she's already banged somebody else since she and Gianni broke up. How upset can she be?
But she hasn't because she claims they never had sex.
All right.
And until it's on Facebook, it's not official.
Her and Vinny just laid down together in the same bed.
That's all.
So she gets on the phone to explain that to Gianni, and here's what happens.
Listen, do you want to be together?
Yes! I want to be talking to you right now. Are you kidding?
I'll give you another chance.
Dumbass.
Thank you.
Just don't f*** me over.
I won't f*** you over. I promise.
Because she only slept with Vinny in the bed and didn't have sex with him, he's going to give her another chance, so Snooki and Gianni have gotten back together. Now, here's the thing.
Yeah.
Maybe Snooki should have asked Vinny what happened last night before she made that phone call. Because she mentions that they just laid down together, and Vinny's like, what? Let me tell you, girlfriend, we did more than that. Snooki finds out they did have sex.
Oh, she knew.
I really honestly thought we didn't have sex.
Please.
Like, I blacked out a little bit.
What are you gonna do?
What are you gonna do?
I blacked out a little bit.
What are you gonna do?
What are you gonna do?
Be a little bit of a whore. That's all you gotta do. That's all.
Let me ask you, Lucretia, and you, Lisa May, as well. Have you ever woken up in the morning and not known whether you had sex the night before or not?
No.
Lucretia?
I haven't known the person in bed with me, but I know I had sex.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So this whole thing is just, it's ridiculous.
Well, next week she has to make a second phone call to Gianni and change her story just ever so slightly.
Sure, to have
she
sex.
She has to add one little detail that she left out of the previous conversation.
And having listened to and watched the show all season, I'm sure it will go well.
I'm sure it will, too.
Thank you, Lucretia.
Thank you,
outstanding review. And by the way, please note, when you were doing the Neo bit, talking about the dishes being thrown, I never expressed any surprise that you'd seen the Matrix movies. I want credit for that, all right, Lucretia?
Lawrence Fishburne in those movies, you know.
Oh, there you go. Okay, have a great weekend, my dear. We'll talk to you soon. Time for one more look at the showbiz beat here on a Friday, the 7th of Rocktober.
1, 2, 3, 4!
I don't know that it gets better than that. How do you guys feel it went? Honestly, how do you feel? I mean, I don't think it gets better than that.
No, it's the best.
Do we need to walk away at the peak of our powers? Is that what you're suggesting?
I was like
Kevin?
The Sergeant Peppers of Melfon. I don't think we're going to be able to top that.
We could try our whole lives and at least be pathetic.
Yeah.
We'll just be us sad. Chasing after a dream.
You're saying once you pitch that no-hitter in Game 7 of the World Series, why play baseball anymore?
Retire.
That's what you were saying.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
All right. Well, we'll have to discuss at the next band meeting in Ralph's Garage. First, though, time for the showbiz beat here on a Friday. What's going on?
I have a list to go out on the week that is kind of painful for me.
A list.
Rolling Stone magazine took a look back at the 80s, one of the greatest decades for music forever.
And worse.
You can have your 60s, you can have your 70s, you can have your 90s, you can have your aughts.
Really? 80s the best?
80s, by far, the greatest musical decade in the history of recorded music.
You crazy!
And then Rolling Stone dares to say there are 10 songs that were some of the worst ever.
I'm guessing they picked all of your favorites.
How dare you, sir!
That's why you hate it.
I have a problem with this list.
That's what I thought.
Here, I'm going to play for you the top 10.
All right. Oh, nice.
Of the Rolling Stone magazine poll, the worst songs of the 1980s.
All right.
I love it.
To which
love
I
it.
Say there is no such category as the worst songs from the 1980s.
There's always that category.
I disagree. The 80s was pristine.
Please.
From midnight, New Year's Eve, 1980 through 1989, all magic.
Wow.
So you're going to justify every Wham song, right? That's what you're doing.
Hell yeah.
All right.
Let's start with number 10. Come on!
Piece of crap if there ever was one.
One of the greatest songs ever.
No,
so popular,
please.
People are still sending it to each other via the internet on a regular basis.
And that's not getting annoying.
Rickrolled, bitch! That's how great that song is. It lives on.
You know, they do that to torture you because it isn't good. You know that, right?
Number 9. The Mets.
Putting on the Reds.
Taco! Come on, Taco!
All right, they're 2 for 2 in my book.
These are awesome songs. They couldn't be more wrong-headed, this list. Number 8. Come on, Mickey. Oh, Mickey, you're so fine. You're so fine. You blow my mind. Hey, Mickey.
Yeah, now, Ralph, that song.
Is that the song that introduced the dreaded double hand clap to the world?
No, it existed long before that. But
okay.
It sure made good use of it. Number 7.
Don't worry, be happy.
No.
Okay, even you will admit that is an S-y song, right?
You know, these are like all the songs I've used for my bits and showbiz over the years.
Yes.
Number 6, I will find the person who wrote this list and I will physically fist fight with them.
Well, it's a poll, so I think it's a lot of people.
Come on, Rock Me Amadeus!
Okay, I'm down with
now,
that.
Now, is this, hold on a sec. Is this the worst songs of the 80s, or is this Let's Look at Ralph's iPod?
Is both. This the worst song of the 80s, or is this the greatest songs ever?
It's both.
That's Steve. What I want to know. Number five. We can dance if we want to. We can leave your friends behind. Safety dance.
We can dance. We can dance. Everybody look at the house.
Number five. Number four. Wake me up. Come on! Choose life! Choose dolphin shorts!
That's a terrible song, though. That's a terrible song.
It's a great song.
And by terrible.
Great, I mean terrible. By great, I mean awesome.
By awesome, you mean awesomely bad.
Look, I got your back on some of this list, but that Wham song is the worst.
Wake me up before you go.
Yes, horrible music.
You like don't leave me hanging on like a yo-yo.
Right. You like it for the same reasons people hate it. It's
because
horrible.
It's great. That's why I like it.
You like the
I like great music?
No.
How about this one? Lady in Red. Oh, yeah. Slow dancing magic right there, Lady in Red.
Don't need it.
It's standing with me.
Nobody knows the words either.
Come on.
I'm good with this list so far.
I want to kill everyone who voted for these songs.
I'm voting for all of them.
Especially with this one. It's the final countdown. Great song. That's the second worst song of the 80s. Second best song of life, maybe.
That's
maybe
what
that
meant.
List.
Maybe they wrote it wrong.
Maybe there's a typo in the name of the list.
Oh, you thought we meant worst. No, these are best.
And this one, as you can imagine, I take great umbrage.
I know what it is.
Yes, this is number one on the list. We built this city on rock and roll. They built a city on rock and roll.
Right, but
what more do they have to do to impress these people?
But they didn't do that
they
in reality.
They built the city on rock and roll.
I know they say that. They didn't
they
do that.
They did it, too. Oh. Man, that makes me angry, that list.
That's a great list.
It is a list I'm of great songs, that. You meant to say.
No, it's an accurate list of bad songs of the 80s.
Damn, that's good stuff.
I'd like to go back and just bomb the 80s and just have them go away.
How dare you, sir.
Who's with me?
Just a couple of hours now, we'll know whether The Simpsons is over or not. There has been an ultimatum given by 20th Century Fox to the cast of 12:01 Pacific Standard Time today.
Ooh, they drew a line in the sand.
Minute after noon, they want an answer whether they're going to accept their offer or not. It's the drop-dead date. Mm-hmm. 20th Century Fox offering them a cut of 45% to their salaries in order to continue doing The Simpsons. Simpsons cast responded with a 30% pay cut, but they also want some back-end profits. That's money from syndication, DVD sales, merchandising, and things like that.
So. And they said, I'm sorry, did you think this was a negotiation?
Yeah, so we'll know a little afternoon whether there's going to be more Simpsons or not.
Let me ask a dumb question here. Let's say they accept the 30%. They still make a lot of money. The studio still makes a lot of money. The audience is still happy because there's new Simpsons. There's no loser in that arrangement at all. Why won't they do that? Why doesn't that happen?
Wait a minute.
Everybody wins.
You're saying they accept the 45% cut?
Yes.
Whatever they accept.
Fox has offered a 45% pay cut. The
actors want a 30%. All right.
And 30% and money out of the back end, out of the profit share. They want profit sharing for The Simpsons.
Okay. Either one of those deals. If one of them gets accepted, everybody still makes money.
Fox is not going to give them profit sharing. It's never going to happen.
I'm number one. Victory is mine.
Not yet.
So kiss my behind.
Nope.
Boom, chaka-laka-laka.
No, Homer, it's
just... in your face.
Nope.
Boom, cha, ka-cha-ka-cow, ba.
I don't think
boom,
it's over yet.
Ba. Who's your daddy?
Despite the legendary generosity of movie studios, I do not think they're going to give them profit sharing for this project.
They are known... for sharing the wealth. That is true.
They do like to hand out checks. But in this particular case, I think
sometimes
they
people
not.
Don't even want it, and they go, here, take this.
We'll have to wait and see. Today's...
I think you'll be pleasantly surprised.
Well, I hope so, Homer. Today's celebrity birthdays, Joy Behar of The View and her own insipid talk show, 69 years old today. Russian Prime Minister Vladimir Putin. Putin on the hits. That's a great song.
One of the worst.
He's 59 years old today. Simon Cowell turns 54. Toni Braxton celebrates her 43rd birthday. Singer Tom York of Radiohead's 43 and Sean Ashmore and his twin brother Aaron Ashmore celebrate their 32nd birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tune in Monday morning. We have an all-new show. We have an announcement for you of a brand new breakfast with.
All right.
You'll be excited about that. Plus, we have Hugh Laurie of House on Monday morning show.
My co-star.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Oh, yeah.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Oh, my.
Nope.
Roll another one.
Now, you're not getting any younger.
Just like the other one.
That's racist.
This one seems to be about to quit. Another
day. Man, you think the quality would dip after 5,500 shows? The doc?
Well, the FCC isn't laughing.
Oh, yeah.
We need an update for when it comes out on DVD.
Oh, yeah.
No, your worst nightmare.
Let's pass it around.
Put them on the glass.
I'm afraid our time is up.
I'll just pass it on down.
Now get out, the bar is closed.
This brutal ordeal is now officially over, and I will never speak of it again.
Thank you very much. Thank you. That was great. Great job. Some great laughs. Really, really went after my intelligence there.
Well, I have a secret for you guys. Get out.
Whoa!
And one more thing. God, do you ever do that where you forget it's such an important thing and I just forgot it on the way in? If I remember, I'll come back.